In this evening's gospel, we hear once again the stirring pronouncement of Jesus' great commission. Jesus' final instruction to his apostles just before he leaves earth and ascends into heaven. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. I find this an amazingly appropriate scripture, not just for the Feast of the Ascension, but also for this graduation season in which we are immersed. In a sense, Jesus' great commission is like the commencement address that many graduates hear. A thoughtful commencement speaker does not simply flatter the graduates for their academic achievement, nor does she indulge them by encouraging their pursuit of the superficial trappings of success, money and power. Rather, an adept commencement speaker challenges the graduates to acknowledge the underlying value of their hard-won skills, and she inspires them to use those skills to make the world a better place. That's what Jesus was doing with the apostles in the Great Commission. Jesus says, with my authority and power behind you, and with your memory of how I acted while I was on earth, go forth and do good in the world. More precisely, Jesus commands the apostles to go forth and make disciples of all the nations. But what does that mean, to make disciples? Well, a disciple is like an apprentice, someone who through close observation and then through trial and error and much practice learns to do what the master has done. A Christian disciple, therefore, must learn, in imitation of Jesus, how to speak an encouraging word to the despondent, how to cure the sick, how to raise the dead, how to cast out demons, and most importantly, how to do these things for the neediest and most vulnerable among us. I can only imagine the skeptical reaction of the apostles when they heard the Great Commission. Cure the sick, they asked themselves. Me? How am I supposed to do that? I'm a simple fisherman. What do I know about medicine? Or raise the dead? I don't think so. I'm not the Son of God. The reason I can imagine their hesitation so easily is because I raise similar objections several times each week. What, Lord? You want me to sit here and hold the hand of this mother whose son's body was just mangled in a car crash? What could I possibly say to her? Or, you want me to talk to that desperate man who has just lost his job and is now anxious about losing his house as well? What do I know about such things? Nevertheless, despite our well-founded misgivings, the gospel assures us that Jesus still expects all disciples to fulfill our commission. Jesus must have seen something more in those first 11 disciples than they were able to see in themselves. And I suppose that he must look at me and at you too the same way. He must see past the plethora of mistakes that we make. He must look beyond our fatigue and self-doubts. And more importantly, he supplies exactly what we need to bring God's healing and peace to other people. Jesus gave us that gift in baptism when he poured into our hearts God's Holy Spirit, that breath of God that dynamizes us, that power of God which enlarges and completes our own halting efforts. However, if baptism enables us to be disciples, imitating Jesus' work in the world, how each of us does that specifically needs to be determined. Because within our common Christian life, there is a variety of vocations. Parent, child, spouse, teacher, student, priest. Whoever you are, you have a distinct missionary task, a particular way that you are supposed to live out your Christian vocation. A healthcare provider sitting here today, for instance, is not simply a Christian for a couple of hours on a Saturday evening and a medical professional the other 6.5 days. For 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you are commissioned to present the healing face of Christ to the sick. Likewise, any parent sitting here is not a Christian only for the hour that Mass goes on. You are a Christian parent 24/7. Your every act of parenting represents the compassionate face of Christ, the Christ who continues to nurture His children through your efforts. It has been 2,000 years since Christ first issued His Great Commission, and yet there is still a dearth of authentic Christian disciples. Despite churches full to overflowing, not enough Christians carry the urgent love of Christ with them when they leave church and go back to where they live and work. Well, my friends, God has no need of closet Christians or Sunday Catholics. Wherever God sends you as a disciple, to home or hospital, to office or school, there are still people hoping to discover whether the love of Christ has taken hold in you. So take that love of Christ and the talents that God has so richly blessed you with and put them at the service of others. Strive this week to make someone else's life more bearable, more human, more joyful. When each of us does that, then and only then will the work of the Great Commission be accomplished.